Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and on the last day of the three-part poetry series we've been doing this week, we'll end the show today hearing some new and selected poems from Tracy K. Smith, Pulitzer Prize winner and former U.S. Poet Laureate. In addition to being the editor of the anthology The Best American Poetry 2021, she has a new collection out of her own work. It's called Such Color, New and Selected Poems. Hi, Tracy. Thanks for doing this one more time to go into the weekend.
Hi, Brian. Thanks so much.
And by way of background, before you read, in selecting poems for this new collection or writing them, were you surprised by anything you found in some of your older work or what you're thinking about now?
Well, the poems that I wrote over the last year were really wrestling in different ways with questions of racial justice. And I was heartened to find that there's a theme of that that runs sometimes quietly, sometimes more audibly through even the earliest poems that I've published. And so it was exciting to gather those poems up together and ask them to sort of speak as a chorus.
And I see you're going to read one from your debut collection, The Body's Question, published back in 2003. You want to set up this one, which is called, I think it's Gospel : Jesus?
Yeah. This is the last poem in a sequence of poems about immigration, and it moves across various voices. It's called Gospel because in some ways I feel that the narrative of migration or immigration is kind of the central American story. Gospel, Jesus. I'd like to smash a goblet in my fist. Instead, I watch my hands baptize each piece, making piles of the things I have watched myself make new. I watch my hands until I am watching out from my hands, now in air, now water, each element a shadow of the other.
Practically a haiku, it's so short.
In some ways, yeah. I think, you know, the story of people moving from one place to another out of desperation or need is, you know, it's a heavy, meaty story, but sometimes it causes us not to think about those moments of quiet reflection that we all have. So this poem kind of ends that sequence where someone is just contemplating, you know.
And I was wondering if for an English language reading audience, you were trying to make that connection to immigration and Latino immigration in particular by pairing those words in the title Gospel, and of course the English language eye is going to read it first as Jesus and then see, oh, it's got the accent over the U, maybe it's Jesus. Were you doing that on purpose?
That's exactly, absolutely, and I kind of, my editor and I were saying, should we put the accent or not? But, you know, I feel like these are holy voices in a way. You know, all of our voices are holy. And, you know, the habituated American perspective sometimes forgets that, often forgets that. And so I wanted to play with the sense of, you know, the disciples. And there's not a gospel of Christ and, you know, the Bible that I grew up with. But this is a poem that invites us to imagine, what if there were?
And what if there were? And the next one that I see you'll read is It and Company from your third collection from 2011, the one called Life on Mars. Borrowed from the David Bowie song, that title, Life on Mars?
Yep, absolutely. This is a book, Life on Mars, that was really thinking about, gosh, science fiction, but also the afterlife and the universe and theology. And this is a poem that kind of puts all of that together and says, what is it? You know, what do we belong to? It and Company. We are a part of it. Not guests. Is it us or what contains us? How can it be anything but an idea, something teetering on the spine of the number I? It is elegant but coy. It avoids the blunt ends of our fingers as we point. We have gone looking for it everywhere, in Bibles, and bandwidth, blooming like a wound from the ocean floor. Still, it resists the matter of false versus real. Unconvinced by our zeal, it is unappeasable. It is like some novels, vast and unreadable.
Hmm. So that's
sometimes
the first...
Go ahead.
Yeah, what were you going to say about it?
I still marvel. Like, there's so many questions we have about the mystery of the universe, but every time I think about the fact that it's not apart from us, we're in it. You know, I'm sitting at my desk right now, I'm in the universe, and you are too. It kind of boggles my mind. So I like the way that a poem can allow us to enact scale shifts that let us test out different kinds of proximities to the things that feel far away when really perhaps they're not.
This is not what I planned to ask you today, but did you have a reaction to William Shatner's emotional reaction to perceiving the Earth from space in the context of what you were just saying?
Oh, gosh, I don't know what his reaction was, I hate to say, but I did grow up admiring him as Captain Kirk, and I actually loved the idea that he got to jettison out to, you know, to where he always seemed to exist in my imagination. What was his reaction?
He was struck by what he considered sort of the vast death of space, because there's no life form up there, and then looking down at the Earth just teeming with life, all kinds of life, but seeing it from afar like that and in the context of space where there was no life, and actually not a take that I had heard from an astronaut before.
That's really fascinating.
So the last poem we will hear from you today, I see, is a new poem of yours called Logos, written for this collection.
Yeah, well, it's an uncollected poem I'd had for a little while. You know, as I was saying, a lot of my work is thinking about questions of justice, which we bring, you know, the imagination, but also various kinds of logic to bear in, you know, trying to decipher, trying to argue for. But I had to be honest and say a lot of my work is also hoping that something beyond logic might be useful, you know. So logos as divine word, or as the, you know, word that brought creation into being, is what this poem is hoping to nudge up against. Logos. Safe in the light along the bank, being in believing. No name, only being. On the bank, radiant and blank, safe watching and seeing. On the brink of the light, blank. No blame in being. Waiting, then seeing. Breathing in being. Let my voice. On the banks, along that brink, after the blaze of knowing, that singing. Some of the poems, this poem sits near, are thinking about, you know, these tragic but frequent deaths of unarmed black citizens. There's a poem called Rapture, just a page or two before this, that's imagining those departures in brutal but also spiritual ways. And I hope this poem, you know, maybe invites the reader to dwell outside of logic and feeling and belief and, you know, the space that we don't have a lot of language for.
Tracy K. Smith, the former U.S. Poet Laureate from 2017 to 2019, is the author now of Such Color, New and Selected Poems. Those are her own work, and the editor now of the Best American Poetry 2021. And these have been such wonderful ways to end the show the last 3 days. Thank you for doing this mini-series, and let's keep looking for ways to put your voice and your work on the radio.
Oh, I'd love that. Thanks so much.